Hi there, this is Mike Quinn, Nine Numb from Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, and The Last Jedi. You're listening to Canned Air Podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
And I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us today, man, I'm so excited to talk to this dude because he's got so much going on. He's a DJ, he's a promoter, and he's one of the original organizers of Star Wars Day and the May the 4th festivities in Modesto, California, which is he and George Lucas's hometown. So that sounds freaking awesome in itself. We welcome Mitta Goodwin to the show. Man, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. Yes, surprising, Modesto, and this was only about 5-6 years ago, was the first city to recognize May the 4th as Star Wars Day, like officially. So we
really?
Made a proclamation, we got the city to do it. Literally by the time they approved the proclamation was May 3rd. So the next day we didn't have a big event, but we went out and we dressed up and went to a bar and had some fun. And then every year since, we just bigger and bigger. This year, unfortunately, with COVID, we had to scale it back. But got a bunch of cosplayers, members of the 501st, to dress up and read some of the children's books, Star Wars children's books, which was kind of cool. You know, so we had that. We had some how to draw art from some of the artists. Ethan Beavers, who's done a lot of art, Star Wars art, and she's actually from Modesto as well. So we were able to pull a few things together and make it work.
I would say so. It sounds like an amazing time. I would love to go to such an event. But of course, once this stupid COVID crap goes away, or at least gets manageable, I don't see it going away, right? But very excited to talk about all that. But before we do that, I got to remind our listeners to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air, and head over to CannedAirPodcast.com because there you can find links to our merch page. Get yourself a mug, a t-shirt, rep the show. And if you want to support the show, head over to Patreon. Or you don't even have to head over to Patreon. There's a button on our website you can click. Or just search us on Patreon, the Canned Air Podcast. And $5 a month gets you access to the Canned Air Patreon pod. We have been retooling, and we are going to relaunch that bad boy come the first of the year. We have a lot of new content we're recording, and I'm just excited for the relaunch of the Patreon. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So look forward to that. Gentlemen, what am I forgetting?
So if you're looking for a really good stocking stuffer for the Christmas season, I want to shout out Neil Ross's book, Vocal Recall, A Life in Radio and Voiceovers. Mm-hmm. We had him on a couple episodes ago, and it's a great read. So
yeah, he's the voice of Shipwreck and G.I. Joe and Springer from Transformers, most famously. I mean, oh my God,
like
the voices.
Yeah,
if you grew up anywhere in the 80s or 90s, you've heard his voice, but and a good damn read at that. So can't encourage that enough.
And also, if you're not doing anything Tuesday nights, generally, check Jack and I out on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. We play Jackbox, interact with fans, and you could even win some prizes. So
there it is. There it is. All right. Well, with that behind us, let's just turn our attention back over to Mitta and talk about all this. Man, I don't even know where to start with you again. So much on your plate here. Again, DJ, promoter. Where does it begin with you, man? What came first? What were you? Promoter first, or how did you get into this?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I started promoting early on, mostly music. Did that for about 30 years. Still do it. Or I'm sure I'll do it again once COVID's over and we can gather and do all that. I mean, honestly, this year I had 50 hours that were booked at the fair, the county fair. I had a season worth of, I think it was 32 dates for Music in the Plaza downtown every Friday. The May the 4th celebration, Graffiti Con, which is the con that I created, mashing car culture and comic books, Star Wars.
Yeah, together. I saw that.
When you do graffiti, American graffiti, and Star Wars, and you know that's something that you can say that came from this town. I went to Downey High School a couple decades after George, but you know it was one of those things where it runs strong. So those are things that just kind of pulled from. And Modesto has a huge car culture. The American Graffiti Car Show here in town, 30 something thousand people come to every year. It's one of the largest car shows on the West Coast.
Wow.
And you know, there's cars from Australia, Japan, people are shipping them over, making the pilgrimage.
So, that is crazy. I can't imagine what it would cost to ship a car overseas.
Right? Seriously.
Right? I'm sure it's a lot less to rent one and drive it across country. But yeah, if you have a classic and you want to make, most of them, what they'll do, I've noticed, they ship it out to Texas and then they drive Route 66.
Okay.
Come out of California, but they ship into a port in Texas, drive across country. And then in the summer, here in California, there are tons of car shows. So I think some of them just, they're here for a month and they just hit every car show and do all that stuff and live that Americana lifestyle for their vacation and ship the vehicle back, I'm assuming. That's probably their big trip for their life. Yeah. Seems like a couple every year do it.
It would seem like you'd have to take a second mortgage to be able to afford that.
Oh, yeah.
Sell the car to get back home.
To ship it. I mean, for me, I mean, and some of these cars are so beautiful. I'd be worried about putting it into a shipping container and shipping it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cost of it, you know, because these guys, you know, this is their baby. You know, it's like, okay, putting your child on a plane without you.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's not as simple as like going to a lost luggage claim line and, you know, where's my car? You know, like, holy cow.
Or something happens. Yeah, you got insurance on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when there's something that you've worked on your entire life, fixed it up, did all the stuff, it has to be unnerving.
Yeah.
Man.
And we've all received UPS packages and FedEx packages that looks like they've gotten ran over.
I just put out 3 records, limited lathe cut vinyl from some local acts. I was supposed to get 146, 27 showed up. The box looked like somebody had just cut it open and then just put some masking tape on it.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
So by the time we got here,
I've got a story for some, here you go. We just got a bottle of vodka in the mail for the show. Okay.
I can't believe how that showed up.
This thing showed up, the corner ripped out, the end of the bottle out, and the plastic thing was ripped off. So it looked like there was a UPS driver or something. It straight just popped the lid off this thing. It didn't look like any was missing out of it, but all the same, like, nah, I'm not touching that.
We've all seen Ace Ventura and his whole bit kicking the thing down the, that is it. I mean, I worked for FedEx for a while, and the videos they show you, you know, there's a lot of abuse that those boxes go through. Yeah. And then you give it to a person who abuses the even more. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fragile sticker means throw.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where the fragile sticker on it was where the rips were. It was like, come on.
Me and Jack.
The nice thing is the manufacturer redid it for me, and he goes, I put them in 4 different bags. Tape those together, tape all the seams. He goes, I ship these things out every week. You know, a friend of mine gets it like twice, 3 times a month, orders from them. That's why I went with this company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never had a problem. Mine show up and I'm like,
but hey, kudos to the manufacturer.
Like, this doesn't weigh like, you know, this doesn't weigh very much. You know,
right.
It's supposed to be like 20 pounds. It's felt, you know, no.
Yeah. It's funny.
The cool thing is, I don't know if any of you have read the Dark Tower series, Stephen King's Dark Towers.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
One of the band's names is Lobstrosities.
Okay.
And all their songs are based on the books. Stephen King also, throughout all his books, the number 19 is very significant.
Mm-hmm.
19 of the Lobstrosities. I had ordered 75 Lobstrosities 7-inches. 19 arrived. One of this ska band, the Dr. Rocket that I put out, one of them showed up, and 7 of this other, but I'm like, 19. Okay, all right. At least there's some kind of story to come out of it other than receiving a package with, you know, 80% of it down, you know, strewn from Pennsylvania to California.
Yeah, a story that doesn't involve, you'll never believe what fucking happened to me. That's cool. So tell me, how do you, or tell us rather, how do you get involved setting up the Star Wars Day and the May 4th events then?
Just being insane. I love Star Wars, obviously.
Nothing wrong with
like
that.
Like most people, many of us do. But the fact was, it was just something we became, you know, we proclaimed the day here. And I was like, okay, we have to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
So then it just started making plans. All right, I booked music. So we booked a band and got them to do some Star Wars music plus a bunch of other stuff. They dressed up as Jedis and such. got the 501st out, all the different organizations, you know, the Mandalorians, you know, the droid groups. They all came out, set up, and we did, a friend of mine does laser shows. He's worked with Metallica and a bunch of different bands. So he came out and did, you know, a cool laser show. And we encouraged everybody to bring their lightsabers. So, you know, once it got dark, it read their proclamation, and then we just went, okay. And you had, I was like a little worried because you have adults with their, you know, battle staffs, and you got kids with their toys. They played well together, you know.
Okay.
But you see them just, all right, like this wall coming together and like rushing each other. Other cool things is I got the Meyer High School. I got them to come out after the first year, and they played John Williams. So you have this marching band. What I'd love to get, and I haven't gotten it yet, but two of the high schools to do dark side, light side, and come marching down the block.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
And so you got like, you know, dun, 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 do, 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 you know, and then they play something together. I think that would just be epic.
That was, yeah. Oh, man, yeah.
The first year we also, it was kind of fun. We had, of course, there was a whole thing with Disney and Fox and Lucas. So that was all kind of coming together. So nobody could show Star Wars. So we got Spaceballs and showed it at the theater. Yes. And so that was fun. I mean, most of the people who were there are not, maybe not most, but a bunch of them had never seen it. So the theater was like, yeah, we can do a $5 showing. So it was $5, sold out, of course. And, you know, was a blast. So that's really it. Just, you know,
how much fun
deciding you're going to do it and just planning, you know, awesome. Sending out, you know, all the fan groups, you send out emails. The worst thing is when it's a Friday, Saturday, they got 900 things they're doing. The off week days, you know, next week, year we do it. It's going to be like a Monday, I think. You know, they'll all come out because not as many people. I'll do it. You know, it's like celebrating Halloween. You do it on the day, you know. Right. You know, I'm not a 20-something-year-old woman going, I'm going to do it on the Friday. My birthday's on the Saturday. No, your birthday is, you know, the 5th of the month. It's a Tuesday. No, I'm celebrating. Or I'm celebrating the whole. No, it's the day. May the 4th is May the 4th.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
It wouldn't be the same if
you can't say May the 4th be with you on the 5th. It just sounds stupid.
Yeah.
Nah, that's the Revenge of the 5th.
Yeah.
Jeez, Jack.
So at these events, you know, you mentioned laser shows, people bringing their sabers and stuff. Are there like vendors there? I'm just trying to piece together what the experience of going to this event looks like.
They varied each year. We have had like last year, landed on Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, perfect.
So, it worked out because we were later, but some of the local comic guys were like, I can't make it out, you know?
Oh, I see.
But, you know, doing the Comic Cons, you know, I was like, okay, let's find people who have Star Wars items, kind of keep in the theme. I don't want to have that be a big part of it. I don't want everybody to go, but give it
like
a little accoutrement. So, you know, having a few people with some toys and different things. Like I said, we're lucky enough that one of the artists for the Marvel comic series lives in town. So we've been able to get him out when he's not elsewhere. We actually had one guy, he's built, last year he wasn't there, 2 years ago he was there, but he built a life-size TIE fighter that you can actually sit in the cockpit.
Holy shit.
And it's like, you know, we have one of our local Vader guys who's 6'4", full costume, was able to sit in it.
It's
full size, you know, and massive. And of course, once people saw that you could get into it, there was a line waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
You climb up into it. You sat there, you know, all right, come on out.
This isn't
I'm not done yet.
It's not like the DeLorean or the Batmobile that's like at every other con. You know?
I mean, when are you gonna... This is one of those things where like I had a guy, of course, he was in South America the next year, so he wasn't able to. This year, of course, we weren't able to do it. Came out last year, and he was all bummed because he worked for the county, and he looked out at one point and saw that he was able to see it. He wasn't able to get into it because by the time he got off work, and his kid, he had pictures of it, and his kid was like, "What didn't you tell me?" He goes, "I didn't know. I can't look out the window, and there was a TIE fighter there, or and he's like, "What am I supposed to do?" You know, and he lives like 2 hours away. So it wasn't like he could rush up home and come back. He was like, by the time I got home, it's probably over. Right. We did acquire, and it's balsa wood and whatnot, but it's probably 3/4 size. You can't sit in it. X-Wing. So we brought that out. We brought that out last year. Like I said, with the droid, different groups, bringing out different robots. It's been fun. I did last year or 2 years ago. I was going to do it again this year, but I did a 3-foot circumference pinata, Death Star pinata.
Oh, cool.
Ended up with some Star Wars toys and candy and stickers and such. And it was funny because at one point, this kid hit it a couple good times, and the weight just ripped along the scene, and it just fell almost in half. He hit the right port. He hit the port, you know, and it's just like, but, and then you just saw the kids, like, just rushed, and it was just a swarm.
Wow.
But, I figure next year I'll probably do 2-foot ones, so a little bit more manageable, not as heavy. Have a second one if the first one gets destroyed real quick.
Right.
You know, I've never been to a Star Wars day or celebration or anything of any kind, but this experience, I mean, everything you've been saying thus far sounds so very unique and like so worth the trip. I would imagine you have people driving from all over the place to attend these days
Yeah, we've gotten some people come from some decent distances. And I know as we do it, it's going to just keep growing.
Exactly.
Like I said, I was really bummed because this year we would have had the TIE fighter back. We would have had the X-Wing. We were working on a few extra things. And, you know, each year I get the band to, hey, do Pretty Fly for a Jedi. You know, you know, it's like learn these songs. Hey, there's some Star Wars themes. Then you can do both of them later, you know.
Yeah.
You know, make them learn some new flourishes, you know, on the guitar or bass. So that's just intro. Like dressing up is one thing, but come on. Give us a little bit more experience, a little bit more Star Wars.
I couldn't agree more.
And they do. Cool. They do. And for the band, I'm not going to say it's the biggest shows they've ever played, but it will become that because each year, just bigger and bigger audiences.
Absolutely.
Sure. And you can see why. I mean, the little bit we've heard about it here sounds freaking incredible.
We're about ready to hop in the car. And
no
road
kidding,
trip
man. I mean,
yeah,
again.
I've kept it completely free, you know, so there's no charge for it. I mean, that's one of those things. You start charging for something like that, you're going to get Disney and Star Wars coming after you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's just like we did a few, like the second year, we also added a charitable component. So I got all the restaurants to do 10% during that time frame.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
So, and that goes to a children's charity. So I'm like, make it where we can raise money, but also encourage that there isn't any litigation in the long run.
Gotcha.
Sure.
Yeah, because that'll usually keep it on the down low a little bit more with them.
We're advertising, we're putting it out there. We're inviting all the fan groups and putting it. So it's not like we're hiding it,
right.
But you know, I know that there have been people who've gotten in trouble, you know, calling, you know, hey, we're doing a lightsaber battle, you know, Royale or something somewhere. And they go, oh, you can't use that name, you know. So it's like Cat Saber or some bull crap, you know. So it's like come on.
Illuminated sword.
Laser yeah. sword laser fights. Sword,
yeah.
Yeah.
Space wizards and laser swords.
There it is.
Come on over.
So as far as then Graffiti Con goes, you know, you were saying it's described as where pop culture meets subculture.
Yes.
And you said a little bit earlier, you know, that it's a hard mesh of Star Wars, again, pop culture, along with like a car show. So, you know, are we going to see the same things at Graffiti Con that we might see on a Star Wars day or May the 4th event? Or how does the event vary? Or
One thing is, you know, we do have the car show.
Right.
And, so that sets us aside from some of the other traditional cons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get inside the convention center, you know, we skew it a little bit more Star Wars, but it's not much different than most other cons.
Okay.
It's, you know, you have vendors, you have artists, you have guests.
Sure.
I'm personally, and this is how me and Joyner met up and started working together, is I grew up watching all the B movies. I grew up, you know, seeing those things. And so I want those guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to get James Hong to come out, you know, who was Lo Pan, the uncle on the Jackie Chan animated series. He was, you know, number one son in the old Jackie or Charlie Chan movies, you know. He's been in everything. His parents live in Manteca, which is 30 minutes away.
Okay.
So the bug's been put in his ear is just haven't worked it. And he's, you know, he's a super busy guy. 500 plus, you know, IMDb page with 500 different things on it, and wow. Many of them legit, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not, hey, I'm just out here doing nothing. That's the kind of guy, you know. So, you know, the three wins from Big Trouble in Little China.
Right.
Those guys I'd love to see. You know, it's just, you know,
yeah,
that's what I grew up on.
Right.
Yep.
So I don't want the A-listers, you know, and that
right.
allows us to keep the price point down at $5 for people to come in. But the, you know, subculture side also, you know, we've gotten some guys who are graffiti artists.
You know? Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, doing that are also comic artists. So we've done that. I've gotten musicians who are also artists. So like Dominic Gavi, who runs Alternative Tentacles, plays bass in Tsunami Bomb and was in Love Equals Death and Headboard and a bunch of other stuff. He's an artist. He's a graphic designer.
That is so cool.
And he's done some comic books. He comes out. Kepi Ghoulie from the Groovy Ghoulies is an artist as well. So, you know, working on trying to get a few other ones that do stuff. And that's part of it. So you know, bringing that other side of it, you know, because part of pop culture, you know, cars are part of pop culture. Mm-hmm. Music's part of pop culture. So doing a pop culture convention and just doing comics and toys, I found was kind of limiting.
Yeah.
And by combining these other things, it was like, I was like, I know there's at least 500 to 1,000 people out there like me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Grew up thinking the Batmobile and the A-Team van and Kit and all those were, they were characters.
Right.
They were supporting cast members, you know? And so taking that and bringing the cars out, I'd love to find, you know, get some more movie cars at some point.
Sure.
It costs a bit to get them to come out, but you know, you get these guys who are geeks with a lot of money. There's a guy who lives not too far and he was going to bring it out this year. He has two cars that were, and I can't remember the movies. They were lesser known, but two movie used vehicles. He has a screen accurate DeLorean.
Oh.
And what he said when he was younger, he goes, if I ever make the money, I'm getting the Tim Burton 89 Batmobile.
Nice.
So he has a screen accurate Batmobile.
That's amazing.
And he was going to bring, he like asked last year, hey, if I brought, you know, I have these things, would it be all right if I brought them out?
Would it be all right?
Can I bring my toys
like,
over?
Yes. You know, there's a guy who has you know, it's not in it, but, it's, you know, the same car as the Starsky and Hutch car. And then,
oh, yeah. What was that, a Charger?
Had somebody, yeah. somebody who had, Trina. I can't remember which one, but it was Trina. One of the Dodge truck, massive trucks. That was what they used as one of the Transformer vehicles.
Oh, so, nice. Okay.
And it had the insignias and all that. And the kid, because he, you know, all right, he bought the truck. And so him and all his friends dress up as, you know, the paramilitary guys. And they brought it out. I'm like, yeah. So we put that out front. So those are kind of neat. You know, when you get some of those things as well. There's a guy who's super Spider-Man fan, and he has this whole mural done on his car, all Spider-Man. So, someone, one of the VW clubs. One of the guys super Batman fan, so it's a little bat VW, and then another one has Superman mural on it.
Nice,
right.
So those are kind of neat. Another guy whose daughter does art, she made a Rat Fink, and Rat Finked out his 76 Stingray. So huh. Rat Fink was driving it, going through the sunroof, did something for the exhaust on the hood. Had Rat Fink's tail coming out the back. It looked really cool. So she put all this work into it to add it, you know, kind of cosplayed his car out.
That's awesome.
That is cool.
And I'm like, you know, that I love because they're taking something I wouldn't have even thought of and they're stepping up and doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, you know, I understand. I'm sorry. Do you guys have a...
No, you're okay. Go ahead.
So I know that Graffiti Con and Star Wars Day... May the 4th, all these events, you know, they happen in Modesto, you know, because this is the birthplace of the creator, George Lucas. But man, I want to go to one. I want to go to this Graffiti Con is what I'm getting at. It sounds so awesome. So I guess we obviously it's something can't be done now with COVID Nation and everything that's happening. But when all that lets up, would there ever be a possibility of this convention being in other parts of the country?
We've talked about it. And that was another thing. I, you know, you get some of these events and it's, you know, the first con I ever worked on, they decided to call it Modesto Con. Well, that's fully branded, you know.
Right.
A friend of mine started one decade ago in Stockton Con. There's, you know, Sac Anime. It's like some of those like, okay, now what are you going to do? I thought it was funny. San Francisco Comic Con, which is put on by one of the big touring companies, but they did it in San Francisco a couple of years. Then they lost their venue, and then San Francisco Comic Con was in Oakland. It's kind of like the San Francisco 49ers playing in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, so by not branding it, you know, I mean, this one we've called Modesto's Graffiti Con, and kind of the thought was we did decide to branch out.
Sure.
We'd have that ability.
Gotcha.
That'd be so cool.
So, you know, creating a brand, but not
locking you to
super locked in. Yeah. I mean, it does. I mean, I do feel the need to do certain things because I am in Modesto. Right. And bring in these elements that are Modesto centric, but obviously, you know, doing a car show with a Comic Con, and there was a place in Texas after our first year that ended up bringing out some cars, did a car show with it, and a guy in Stockton did a failed one, but at least he was trying. I don't know if he was like, well, I'm not saying. I go, I'm surprised people haven't done it before.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, you usually have one or two cars. You got hey, it's the Impala from Supernatural, or you said a Batmobile or something like that.
Right.
I'm waiting, and it was going to be there this year too. A friend of mine, one of his family friends, they're in a big VW club out here in California. And one of their friends owns the VW from Fast Times at Richmond High, the bus.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And I'm like, dude, come on.
You know, yeah.
You know, and he lives up his way. And he's like, yeah, I'll bring it out. So the last few years, we've landed on an event, and it's shift because it's like, it's one of those third Thursday or third Saturdays or whatever, the one that he does. But because of the shifting days, it becomes a different day next year. This year and next year would be. So hopefully he'll make it. Just those kind of things. And, you know, it's like, dude, just to get into it. And then there's another guy that he was in. What was it? I'm blanking on the name of the movie, but it was he owns a bullet car from
the Steve McQueen Bullet It movie.
Well, he did. It was Chasing McQueen was what it was called. Okay. It was this movie based on the making of the movie and all that. And this guy played Steve McQueen. And what his deal was, he looks a lot like Steve McQueen. His deal was, for part of his payment or whatever, he got to keep the car.
Wow.
And that's so pretty sweet.
He owns a bullet car from not Bullet, but from Chase McQueen. I was like, come on, who wouldn't want to get a picture with the bullet car and a guy that looks like Steve McQueen?
Absolutely.
And it's such a rare thing to come across, you know, not only that, but the Fast Times at Ridgemont High car. And like, it's nuts. Like, I would totally do that. And I'm not even that big into cars, but these are these are things that I would totally be into.
Well, it's like any character in a comic book. It's a character from a show. So it's,
But I mean, even the ones that aren't characters from show, you know, he was talking about like the one that had like the whole Spider-Man mural on, like, all that original kind of theme stuff.
Art,
just
art in a different art part.
Exactly. Yeah. Well put. But very good. So one last thing I think we need to ask you here is, we were told to ask about some of the fake celebrities and fake people that pop their heads up around these conventions. Would you mind regaling us with this story?
I've been lucky not to really have to deal with that. But over time, especially in Star Wars, the fact is, at a certain point in time, especially pre-Google, pre old internet, and pre-communication, I don't know why it's like that, but a lot of con people are very exclusive about sharing information. So they'll get a guest, and they don't want to talk about it. So they get the guest, and they're not going to tell somebody they're getting it because they're hoping, they don't want them to go, oh, well, I'm going to pull them into my show.
I see.
So there was that kind of just... they created themselves without communicating. You know, you could say, oh, I was, you know, a Tusken Raider. And if you're old enough to be approximately that age, they don't know you're in a mask.
Yeah.
You know, and you bring out some, you know, stills that you've got, and you go, oh, yeah, that's me. Well, I'm friends with Alan Fernandez, who was a Tusken Raider. And by talking to him, there was three. In the original Star Wars, there was three people dressed up as Tusken Raiders. Originally, there was only two, but they needed, so, you know, pretty much he was the elephant trainer. So the Bantas are elephants.
Yeah, right.
Dressed up, cosplayed. So Lucas talked him into dressing up and being part of the film to keep him there longer and not have to pay him as much, because he needed them there on site, needed somebody to make sure that the elephants did what they were supposed to do. So anytime you see a Tusken Raider on an elephant or on Banta, that's him.
Okay.
And then he's in a few other scenes, but really it was just, okay, two of you here, one of you over there, three of you over here. And it looks like there's more of them.
Mm. Right.
But there was three. What is it? The Jawas. Mm-hmm. I think there was eight of them, but there's also eight kids who ended up doing reshoots. Well, the Desert Valley Jawas, which are these eight kids, they went to school. They went to school. They were the right heights.
Okay.
You know, they needed, some of the film got damaged. So they went out and found a spot. Okay. Death Valley looks about the same. We're not going to go back out to Africa and film. And they had the costume. They got all the kids dressed up. They measured them in the high school, got them all signed off, came out. As far as I know, one of the kids has a picture in the costume where you see his face.
Okay.
Because his mom had like a Polaroid or something. He knows who all of them are because they went to school together.
Right.
But for a while, you had these people going, oh, yeah, that's me. I was in it. Because there was a story about it. It's right. Just eight random kids. So you could be much younger. You know, you could be 20 years younger and say you're one of these and be a, and also be a normal size adult because they were kids. They weren't, you know,
right.
Aborigines dressed up. But yeah, so you get these people going out and doing that. Who was it? Scotty Schwartz, you know, somebody was going out and saying that he was his brother.
Oh my God.
And then Scott had to go, no, you know, we're not related. I don't know that guy. But there's a lot of those things where you got people just scamming, you know, right. And it was easy, you know. It's the same thing, you know, with musicians. I've seen people and they give you this stuff and then you confront them. Oh, no, I was saying, no, Dave Bowie, not David Bowie. Played with, he's like, really? I mean, literally, I saw a guy and he had this thing. I was like, wow, that's an amazing. There can't be. And he's like, I was like, oh, you played in some tribute bands? No, it doesn't count. You know, or you were the guy who played on an album, but you weren't in the band, you know?
Yeah.
Or there was, Red Hot Chili Peppers, they wanted Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction to join the band when Fusciante quit. Or no, right. Dave Fusciante, when they wanted, when Navarro, but he couldn't do it. He had this band industrial he was doing. So they had a tryout. There was a guy who actually was in the band for a week, never played on anything, then was released, and then started a band and, you know, ex-member of Red Hot Chili Peppers. Sorry, yeah, I guess you were in the band for a week. You know, I would give it to the guy who was, you know, toured for 2 months with them when the original guitarist quit. But you know, you didn't record, you didn't do it. Like, come on, really,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's going out on the limb.
You got a paycheck, so that happens. You know,
people.
It's the same thing with like, you know, Parliament Funkadelic. If you play a horn, you can show up to a Parliament show and hop up on stage with them. You played with them, but were you really in the band? No. But you get these people who, you know, do that and they go, they have pictures. They go, look, I'm in the band. I was in the band. It's like, no, you weren't. I played with the Violent Femmes, but I was never in the Violent Femmes. You know, I sat in at a show.
That'd be a whole nother story there.
But, yeah, with Star Wars, that's probably more people have gone out. And this, like I said, it's been probably 10 years since this really happened, but had gone out and just milked it, said they were somebody and weren't.
And didn't one of them get to like appear with Mark Hamill and something?
Oh, yeah. Mark Hamill was like, they were, yeah, that totally did. And the guy was, I think it might have been one of the guys saying he was a Tusken Raider. And Mark's like, I don't know who that is. So he started asking him questions. Like, if you were there, you would know, you know, certain things that happened during that filming point. Mm-hmm. Also, Lucas, doing that first Star Wars, he wasn't really a great director yet. I asked the guy who played Greedo, what kind of, actually I asked Anthony Daniels the same question, but like knowing the answer is like, so how was George Lucas as a director? What kind of stage advice did he give? And, you know, the guy who played Greedo was like, he told me to act like an alien.
Perfect.
I'm like, yeah, I'm an alien, but what kind of, you know, what do you like? Just act like an alien. And here's a guy who's a British stage and screen, was in Lawrence of Arabia kind of actor. Right. You know, he was, you know, it's like, these are the guys that are working. And he goes, we were just looking, going like, okay, it's a paycheck, but this isn't going anywhere.
Right.
So these guys don't, you know, a bunch of stupid American no-name actors. It was a B-movie for them. They thought right. It was just going to be some B-movie sci-fi, and it wasn't. And that's part of it because there's so many guys that worked on the set that ended up getting put in costumes. Mm. You know?
Right.
So there are people who actually were in it that aren't credited, But because of that, so many people just kind of went, oh, yeah, I was in it too.
Gotcha.
Sure.
I was this guy, you know. Billy Dee Williams' son was a Gamorrean guard.
Really?
He was just on set, you know. And so they needed somebody. It's like, once again, if you're, you know, if you ever got asked, hey, do you want to be in a Star Wars film? You go, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Oh, no, no. Payment? What? You give me a sandwich? Oh, great. That's, I didn't, I was just going to set and swelter for, you know, to be in this. That part of it. I mean, the same kind of thing with the Mandalorian. All the stormtroopers are 501st members.
Right.
Oh, no shit. I didn't know that.
I read that somewhere.
For real. A friend of mine, Marie Gwen, was, you know, in the first episode of the first season, or in a couple of the first season. And it was like kind of really neat because you're like, okay. And then, you know, these people have spent so much money and time on better than screen accurate costumes.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
what a natural move. Like, that's a great idea. Yeah.
So I think for Favreau, it was two prong. One, you now can have all these people dressed up and, you know, they're part of a group and they interacted and such. You don't really have to pay for them. And you definitely don't have to pay for all the costumes.
Right.
So, you know, even if you give them some spec for the day, okay, fine. But the money you save on costumes, you know, is there. And I think that was his thing. He goes, I can get four or five guys and be like Lucas did in the movie to kind of stage it. Or I can get 100 of them to come out and do these massive scenes. And you don't go, wait a minute. Is that the same guy the fourth time? Are you rerunning the same scene? You know,
right.
Scooby-Doo style. Flip the screen and now he's running the other way.
Right.
Yeah, those guys you can call up and place an order. I need 20 stormtroopers, couple Imperial officers, a couple biker scouts. It makes sense,
though. I would never figure that. You not only are you're saving yourself hiring actors and buying all these costumes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. That's a great idea.
For me, I can't do that. Hey, I'm doing this event. You know, can I get these? I can request it.
Yeah,
but
right.
But if I was, you know, doing a legit, you know, authorized movie or TV show or something, you know, you're knocking down the door. You know, right. I'm sure he had more people asking to be part of it than, you know, he needed. So
very clever.
Just imagine how easy production was too. Like, you don't have to explain to anybody what a stormtrooper is. I mean,
anyone who
you know what you are, go stand over there and be a stormtrooper. Yeah,
stand over there. No, you don't hold the gun and don't say pew, pew, pew. Plan that later. You don't have to say that. You know, when you're shooting, you don't got to go pew, pew, pew.
There's a lot of jobs called off or work called off during that filming of that.
Oh, show, I'm sure I would be calling off. That's for sure. If I were
first. But... And I know there's people who probably said, no, I can't do it. And then they kick themselves. But
yeah,
you know, like I said, I know a couple that were like, you know, and they live up here and they're 6 hours, 7 hours away from home, you know, driving down there, doing it. Yeah. I know my friend, one friend, Ed, like I said, his wife was a stormtrooper. He's 6'4". He's a little tall for a stormtrooper.
A little bit. Sure. Yeah. He's more of a Vader.
Yeah. I mean, and he does Vader and he does other stuff. But yeah, he's the Vader, the local, you know, NorCal Vader. Well, he didn't get to be in the show. I'm sure he was disappointed. It's like, okay, my wife, who I got into all this, got her dressing up. Said, you know, yeah, doing Leia's, that's fun, but, you know, come on, let's work on some, you know, some armor.
So, yeah, it's like, just get me a nailer, I'll be in the background or something. Yeah,
be a body on the ground.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a dinner table fight on down the road.
They just end up, like, sitting at either end of dinner table, sipping wine every night, resenting each other for the rest of their lives.
Maybe.
Man, I got to say, this has been a blast to talk with you. And I really want to get to one of these cons again once this COVID nation lets up. As far as what I'm finding, as far as your social media goes, it's your name, Midda, which is MIDDAH_Goodwin.
And that's AGH. Yeah. Midda, if you type in Midda, MIDDAGH, you're going to find me.
I had it spelled wrong up there. I'm sorry.
No worries. No worries. Actually, it's spelled right. Oh, that's on me. So I'm spelled right on my page. then with GraffitiCon, it's GraffitiCon209.
Okay.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And anywhere else, Pete, we should be directing people?
That's the main two. I mean, if you want to check out my radio shows, I have the Mama Radio, which is an all-local show. which celebrate it 1 year today at 5 p.m.
Oh, wow. Congrats, man.
1 year for that show. And then I also, and that's 100% local music from the 209, our area code. So from, well, if it's pre-89, I'll go down to Fresno, where they split us at us, or actually 90 something. So if it's original 209 era, I go all the way down. So if it was recorded or you were in the 209 at the time, it was still 209, I'll play it. And this, you know, I'm going back to like 1939 with the Maddox Brothers and Rose.
Oh, wow.
Roddy Jackson was from Merced, who actually, one of his songs got covered by Paul McCartney and the Rolling Stones and the Animals. So it's kind of neat having that history and going all the way up to today. Today, the first show I ever did, I did it all on vinyl.
Oh, wow.
Everything I did live on vinyl. And then today's show was all music that was recorded in the last year.
Gotcha.
Well, that's cool.
So kind of doing that. And then I have a ska show on there, which airs on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. On kcbpradio.org, kcbradio.org. And the ska show for this week airs tomorrow at 9. And it's my Skanksgiving show. So it's all songs about turkey and sweet potatoes. And I had to throw in, you know, three quarts because, you know, three quarts drunk, because we all have that uncle at the end of Thanksgiving is three quarts drunk. Bob Stones have a song called Chocolate Pudding. So, you know, a little dessert. And I had to start off with bush turkey, which was from the Porkers from Australia, and then do a little breakfast, you know. So I have some song called Coffee, song called Lucky Charms. And then the Jeffries Fan Club have a song called Milk, because you need a little milk for your coffee and your Lucky Charms. So I themed out the day, you know.
Right.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. That's, I got so a cool Skanksgiving. I'm going to be using that one, let me tell you what. Thank so you I did, for but that.
You know, it's fun to do theme stuff sometimes, too, you know. So it's like I try to keep up and play new songs every week.
Right.
At least a few. But then there's a theme. So it's like I did a Scalloween show. So I'll have my Christmas show, you know. So it's like doing those kind of things. I did a St. Patrick's Day show, of course, for St. Patrick. It's like the show lands on St. Patrick's Day. I got to do a St. Patrick's Day show. So it was all bands from Boston and Ireland.
Nice. Oh, okay.
There you go.
You know, like I can't find enough for the full show from either.
So you
I'll combine them, you know.
There you
sure.
So those kind of things, you know, I've done a couple Ska Against Racism shows, Skanking Around the World type of thing, you know, just do it. I did a four-part series, and I'm just barely able to, but I found a ska band from every state.
Oh,
so
wow.
I did four parts, and so it was the first 13 Scalanese.
Wow, look at you.
And D.C. You know, I had to throw D.C. in there. But and I did it in sequence of when the states entered the Union.
That's amazing.
So a little bit of history there. Made it hard. I mean, trying to do a map or something, like, okay, he's 13, yeah. And then like, okay, it's, you know, here. And then at a certain point, like, you know, California and, you know, like North Dakota are coming in at the same time, you know, same frames, like, you know, they're adding in, kind of coming in the middle. So it kind of jumps around, but you got to come up with some kind of thing and some way of doing it. So I was just like, all right, I'll do it from the first state to enter the Union to the last.
I love it, man. That's really cool. And again, we're going to, I encourage people to check Mitta out on Instagram. And is it Twitter too, or is it just Instagram?
I have a Twitter account that's for Graffiti Con.
Okay.
I have a Instagram for Graffiti Con. I don't have a personal Twitter account for myself. I pretty much just made it the Graffiti Con page.
Gotcha.
And then,
gotcha.
But I do have an Instagram. And then if you like records, I do have a page called For the Record, where every day I post. This year I've been posting a record every day, kind of giving a little background story to it.
That's
so I think
cool.
I'm at 328 records this year.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Wow.
And I, you know, I messed up because I'm going to have to do the extra one because it's leap year.
Yeah.
So it's not, I've been hashtagging 365 and I'm like, wait a minute, it should be 366 this year.
Damn it, 2020.
No shit.
Yeah, really. Right?
And one extra day they threw into it.
Well, man, we're going to be throwing links up to all this, your website and your social media links. But thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you.
This has been fantastic, man.
Fun stuff.
Jack, what have we on the website, sir?
Go to cannedairpodcast.com where you can see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, become a patron, buy some merch, see some YouTube videos, and if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at canned_air. If you like what we're doing, want to show your support, at cannedairpodcast.com, there's a button you can click on to become a patron. There's a button you can click on to buy some merch. There's a button for everything at cannedairpodcast.com.
Right? You got a button for everything. Play your cards right, you'll get a button.
Ooh. Clever bastard.
That was a stretch.
Clever. Nah, I like it. I like it. Right. I like it. He means buttons we go on your shirt, like
the patron button.
Yeah.
Nice segue.
The best jokes are the ones that need explained. Right? Anything else, gentlemen, before we move on?
Nope.
I think that's going to do it then for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
I'm Mitta Goodwin.
Thank you so much for listening and be excellent to each other.
My parents are mean, so I'm running away from home.
Where you gotta go?
I don't know yet, but that'll show them.
It sure will.
Shipwreck!
Parents just don't understand, and it gets lonely on the road, so be sure to listen to the Canned Air podcast.
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
This has been a Canned Air production.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.